since coming to this conference. I can say in the light of Scripture, I have been touched. Now, before I say anything, I'll explain the touching. Mr. Adams ministered from Matthew's Gospel, and he told us of an incident of a man who was let down at the feet of Jesus. That touched me. It always touches me. And I preach from this text many times because of the truth that is contained therein. This morning I was touched in the morning meeting in that lovely hymn, "Behold, a spotless victim dies, my surety on the tree." I was touched. But I want to tell this audience tonight, and I tell it with kindness and love in my soul, I haven't been in a prayer meeting where I was touched like tonight. And I want to tell you, friend, I have shed tears with my brethren in the prayer meeting before this gospel meeting. I say tears, and if I'm not affected, friend, you'll never be affected. I have been touched. Would you like to be touched, friend? Would you like that Savior to say something to you with an abiding result? And I'm thinking, since being asked last evening in relation to sharing in this gospel, I've been thinking of some places. And I'm thinking of this place in Matthew chapter 9. And I think it is verse 3. We'll just turn to that verse. Matthew 9 and verse 2. "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." I wonder tonight, as you have come to this meeting, is it with this in mind that you want to find yourself at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's outstanding in many ways because they brought a palsied man. We think of the helplessness of the man. We think of his condition, of which we have been hearing about from Romans chapter 3. Man's depravity. The reality of it should grip our souls, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then when I thought of the man, I thought of what the Lord said to him, and which was very necessary in his total depravity. His palsy was the result of his sin. And your helplessness tonight, friend, is a result of your sin. You cannot save yourself. And God, in his great matchless love, has sent his Son, the darling of his bosom, so that he might give you a hope for time and eternity. First of all, in relation to the text, I want to look at some scriptures, and the first one is, "For the sake of the younger ones." I hope you're listening now. I'm sure you didn't get much out of the conference. I'm talking to the young ones. Quite often, young children, they're glad to see their friends, and they enjoy their friends, and they talk with their friends, they walk with their friends, they have a lovely time together. And quite often, young people say, I didn't get anything from those meetings. I mean the children. I'm talking about the children. The little ones, you know. And it's hard for them to sit, especially for an hour and a half, 2 hours at a time. Oh, I'm tired. I want to go. And it's quite a job for mother to keep the boy or the girl quiet, isn't it? How do we know we came that way? Children are restless. But there's something I want to tell the children tonight, and I want you to listen. Jesus loves you. And in Matthew chapter 18, he tells the disciples, don't stumble those little children that believe in me. Now let me ask you a question tonight. Are there some boys and girls in this meeting? I don't ask you your age, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. It could be in that age bracket. And you remember a moment when you, in childlike simplicity, you realized that you were lost. Matthew tells me the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And of course, we are lost in sin, and to be lost means I can't find my way back. And in all your childlike simplicity, you have said in such words, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I tell you, to believe on Him is to find everlasting life. And He loves the children. There are three things that I see in relation to the children, and I hope you're still listening. In Matthew chapter 19, and relating it to Mark's gospel, I find that He took them up into His arms, and He blessed them. I see a place of safety. I see a place of fellowship. And I see something of a place of security. I want to tell the younger ones tonight, in all your simplicity, that Jesus Christ is eternal life. One young boy attending children's meetings, he went home from the meeting, and he, before he went into his bed, he dropped to his knees. And he's praying in his simplicity. And he says, oh God, listen to the prayer, boy. Listen to the prayer, girl. Oh God, give Mr. Preacher many convicts. Very strange prayer to tell God. Who was standing by was mother, as she always does in relation to her child. She has just put him to bed? No, he's not in bed. He's just standing by, just waiting to see what happens. The door is ajar, and she hears the prayer. That mother was not saved. What is the matter with my boy? Why is he using such language? Oh God, give Mr. Preacher many convicts. You would like a lot of convicts, wouldn't you? Oh, of course you would. I would like a lot of convicts. She was so curious that she just burst into the room and she touched her boy. He's still on his knees. Mother, don't forget your boy. Don't forget your girl. They're very precious to you. God has given them to you, and if you're a saved mother, more so that you might touch them. What's the matter, son? Why are you praying such a prayer like that? Mother, as any boy should do, and any boy in reality or any girl, mother, I want to tell you what happened to me at the children's meeting tonight. What happened to you, son? He said, I was convicted of my sin. Wasn't that what you were telling us of? I must be convicted of my sin, whether I'm a boy or a girl or a man or a woman. But mother, listen to this. The man didn't leave me there. He didn't leave me there. Thank God for the simplicity of that boy. Would to God we had more of it today. Simplicity, gentleness, and humbleness marked that boy. But he said, Mr. Preacher told me that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Boy, are you washed tonight in the blood of Christ? Girl, are you washed in the blood of Christ? Now I step a little further. I see father and mother present tonight. And there could be, who knows, I don't know, there could be a husband saved and a wife not saved. There could be a wife saved and a husband not saved. And there is the possibility that when you go to bed at night, you're already in bed, that you put your arm in your wife's arm, or vice versa, and you're afraid of the Lord coming. Mr. DeLandry, at the breaking of bread, give the child of God a hope for time and eternity. And every believer in Christ has a blessed and sure hope. But there's been many a man or woman, and they have hooked their arms together because they knew that if the Lord came, their partner in life would be gone, and you would be left behind. Is there one in this audience tonight? Let it come home to your heart by the Spirit of God. And bring rejoicing to your wife tonight, or to your husband. And realize as never before, Jesus is coming. And I'm not saved and I want to be saved. I see a place of safety in relation to the children. But I want to bring before you that there is still an open door. You see, in John chapter 14, we have the place of hope. And that hope is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the place of welcome in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. He said to the man, the palsied man, he said, son. How important that we notice that word, because after all, if the Lord Jesus says anything, it's of value to you or to me. The word son means welcome. Welcome at the feet of the Lord Jesus in a full house. Now our house is not full tonight. I mean this building. It's not full, but we're so thankful you came. So thankful you came. And you maybe might be thinking such way, in this way, is there a welcome for me? Our friend, we want to tell you that we have been touched in the prayer meeting and we have been asking God to touch you. Touch you? Oh yes, touch you. You mean to say me? Ah, when we're singled out by the Spirit of God. I remember the night when I was touched. I thought somebody told the preacher all about me. And I said, who in the world ever told that man about me? If I could just get my hands on him. Oh, we have a nature that's depraved, and there is none righteous, no, not one. But in the midst of those moments, yes, the Spirit of God not only convicted me, but I was convinced that I was lost. I was helpless. I was a hell-deserving sinner, and I deserved to go there, but there was one who gave me hope. The Lord Jesus is very careful. He said, son, and there's a come. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Have you been disappointed in life? Have you come to that moment and you say, earthly friends have forsaken me? They have soothed me and now they have forsaken me. But there's a friend who'll ne'er deceive me. Oh, how he loves. His love is an eternal love. His love is an abiding love. His love brings me into the wealth of heaven and home. His love brings me into fellowship with those who have experienced the love of Christ. The love of Christ constrains me tonight as I look upon your face. And when I think of your eternity, I would implore you, I would say in the light of Holy Writ, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Be of good cheer. Is there something else yet? The man needs something which you need tonight. What's that? Sins forgiven. Sins forgiven. Sins forgiven. How are you going to have your sins forgiven? There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven to let us in. Would you like to go in tonight? Would you like to have that knowledge of sin forgiven and peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Then I'll come now to the next place. What is it? In Luke chapter 23, it tells me when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him. Don't you forget that, friend. There was only one that could pay the price of sin. There was only one in whom God could look upon. And there was only one that paid that price in full. He could look upon man and woman who had ill-treated him, who had cried out, crucify him, crucify him. He's on the cross. And I oftentimes think of that lovely hymn, at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Someone mentioned at the conference about the thief. I tell you, it was a happy day. The thief said, when thou comest into thy kingdom. But the thief needed what you need tonight. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. God's today is just as real as it was when he hung on Calvary's cross. Oh, friend, tonight, now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation, the place of suffering, and how he suffered, not for his own sins, but for my sins. But I come to John 14, of which Mr. Delandry brought some lovely thoughts to us of. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, I tell you, what a place. Mr. Inger Manson, 75 years of age, came to gospel meetings that Noel Burden and myself had in Tatamagush. He came one night and he said, I'm coming back tomorrow night. And he came back the next night and after everyone went away, he sat in his seat. I drew near to Mr. Inger Manson. And I said, what is it, Mr. Inger Manson? He said, I'm afraid I've frittered away my time. He said, I'm 75 years, Mr. Patton, of age. 75. And he said, I haven't got much longer for this earth. But he said, I have no hope. I have no hope. I have no hope. 75 years of age, Mr. Delandry said to us this morning, isn't it marvelous that our hope comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus? If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Well, I just said within my bosom, thank God, he's coming for me. He's coming for me. He's coming for me. Why? Because he saved me by his grace. Mr. Ingermanson, let me ask you this question. If you have no hope, would you like to have a hope for time and for eternity? He said, do you think, Mr. Patton, there is any hope? There is hope in Christ. He who is our hope, the believer says, he's my hope, and he can be your hope for time and eternity. Mr. Ingermanson said, if there's hope for me, Mr. Patton, I want to be saved. Ah, that felt need was within his bosom. He had a desire to know who Christ really was. And to be much thankful, as I was that time. He was a former Jehovah Witness who denied the deity of the Godhead. But I want to tell you that when the gospel is preached, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, whether you're a Jehovah Witness or any other kind of witness. Friend, tonight, mankind needs a hope, and that hope is to be found in Christ. Mr. Ingermanson, yes, that evening, or maybe the next evening, he said, thanks, Mr. Patton. He said, Christ is my Savior. He's my Lord. But here's the point I want to tell you. I just received a letter not too long ago, and Mr. Ingermanson has gone. You remember Mr. Kent, Mr. Fletcher? I often think of that man as he jumped from his Chesterfield in Gorby, Manitoulin Island. He said, man, I don't care what you think. He said, my burden's gone. My sins have been cleansed through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it was just about a year after he was gone. Do you know how long you have to live? I would say in the light of Psalm 39, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Then the psalmist comes in with those lovely words. And now, oh, this present moment, friend, and now, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. There is hope for you, sinner friend. Young, older, as the case might be, there's a hope within your reach. And I would urge upon you to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and return unto the Lord, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But I must tell you of another place. In Revelation, we come to the end of Revelation. And we find there, in chapter 20 of Revelation, these words. I'm going to turn to them for the sake of one and all. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. Friend, I feel for you tonight. There was found no place for them. And the books were open. Now I want to tell you, friend, God's interest in you is greater than mine. But I want to tell you I love you. I love you because of that man who bled and died at Calvary. And if you die in your sin, my friend, there will be no place for you to go. Only the lake of fire. Eternal separation from a holy God who loves you so much that he gave his son. Fred, I touched tonight
because I prayed for you. That's the Savior. The some of you I know by heart. So many times we tell God about you. And you're lingering in your sins. Oh, how awful the cost. If your soul should be lost, and in hell, if you die, you are. I'm at the conference, but I'm in North Bay every day. Did you hear that, friend? I'm in North Bay every day. I have prayed for you. May it go home to your heart. No place found for them. Oh, friend, be warned. Be convinced of this. Is it going to be my choice that there be no place for me? The time has passed. Eternity looms before me. And have you counted the cost? Have you said to your soul, right here and now, this is my opportunity. I'm not going to neglect this great salvation that has cost God His beloved Son to the death. Calvary. Oh, the love of Jesus. What it is. None but His loved ones know. But we want you to know it too. And if you get saved in this meeting, you'll be able to say, oh, 'twas love. 'Twas wondrous love. The love of God to me, it brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Who for? For you, friend. Will you receive Him? Will you accept Him? Will you put your trust in Him? And if you do, while I'm praying, I can assure you on the authority of God's Word, to as many as received Him, to them give He the power or the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Trust Him. And you'll never be sorry, because He is eternal life. Shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for everyone who has taken the time out to be with us this evening. And we're so glad to see them. And we trust that any who are yet lingering in their sins, that they will not linger any longer, but they will now at this present moment while speaking to Thee, that Thou wouldst give them the faith to rest and stake their all in what another has done for them and to believe to the salvation of their soul. Grant it, we beseech of Thee, and ask Thy blessing on our coming together, giving Thee thanks for enabling us to enjoy this time with Thy people here in North Bay. And may Thy richest blessing be upon each one, because we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll sing a closing hymn, number 7. Now if God has spoken to you, and you have any desire to be saved, don't put it off. We'd be very glad to help any. Talk to you about the way of salvation, and still point out Christ to you like John of old. Number 7, almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go Thy way, some more convenient day on Thee I'll call. Now we hope that that won't be the case. But then verse 2 says, almost persuaded, come today, almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here, angels are lingering near, prayers rise from hearts so dear, O wanderer, come.